What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
How y'all doing? It's Matt or Haz. What's happening? Tweak Talks episode 198. Can we talk about it? Can we talk about it?
Uh-oh, we're getting close to 200 and we don't have an idea.
That's crazy. Like, that's just insane, bro. Can't believe it. Just ridiculous. Very cool to have shared the mic with you guys for this long. Gonna keep it going here. Talk about some Smash Ultimate. CEO happened, one of my favorite tournaments every weekend of the year, every year. All sorts of fighting games going on there, obviously including Smash, Melee, and Ultimate. And we got a Patreon too, everybody. Check that out, patreon.com/tweaktalks. No idea what we're talking about this week. Full transparency. We're going to figure it out, though. I'm sure we'll start talking about something today, and it'll snowball into something else. But we're going to cover CEO, and there's like a Donkey Kong Direct or something that Gavin's excited about. So we'll get into that. How are you doing, Gavin?
Good. I just want to say, my favorite bit on the show for like the names, like when we introduce ourselves, that the comments always talks about, it's Marcusaur, bro. That shit is
Who's the best?
Yeah, Marcusaur sounds like
Marcusaur is just so cool. It's Marcusaur, yeah. Bro.
Do you get like
Marcusaur is just so underrated?
Are you thinking underrated. Like what does the name feel like to you? Does it give like dinosaur vibes?
Dinosaur, yeah.
Marcusaur,
bro.
Okay. I'm just making sure we're all on the same page.
What dinosaur?
I just wanted to say that, bro. Like,
yeah, what kind of dinosaur do you fuck with, bro? What's your favorite dinosaur? Patreon content. What's your favorite dinosaur?
Gab would have a list.
Wait, were you asking me or were you asking Gab?
I'm asking you.
Bro, I don't know if I have Marcusaur, a favorite dinosaur. I like Triceratops. They're kind of cool.
I like Charles's. What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck? It's the what up is good. The what up is nice. The what up is smooth. The double is crazy. That's crazy. He's been doing that.
Unfortunately, yeah. Has his, yeah.
I just
all good.
What?
All good. Because Gavin Orr, the head joint is lit.
When I think about it, they're all really good. All right, chat. Tell us your favorite.
Oh yeah, shit.
Gavin's getting a dub. That Gavin Orr is clean.
Marcusaur goes so foolish.
Mador and Hazor.
Hazor's
like,
good. I like
Hazor. I see that as like World of Warcraft. Like, I see someone walking by, you know, I'm in Orgrimmar, someone walks by, I just see Hazor, you know, like that makes sense to me.
Hazor, Marcusaur, Gavin Orr.
And what are you, chat? You know, what's your Orr name?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have an introduction for every comment.
This is about to be an interesting comment section.
Oh no, what have we done?
I do like baiting the comment section. I did ask how you're doing, Gavin, but the mix was
yeah.
Good.
Sorry.
Notice. Yeah, true.
I'm doing well. still figuring everything out since I became unemployed. Been trying to stream regularly. Yeah,
you're like
I don't know.
Not it's, unemployed, but you're just not W.
It's funny to say. I really enjoy saying it.
that you're unemployed.
Yeah, it's just.
Okay.
It feels right.
I got a raid from EE. I think they were recording Lights Out. And Light called me a bum straight up.
And but then you take that as a personal attack.
He said he missed me first. This was a message from the Raiders.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
He said he missed me and that I'm a bum. But a lot of one of the chatters just said bum. And I was like, bro, that's not even the message. You just got to call me a bum yourself. That's not how that works.
Light literally, he can do that though, because he was literally recording Lights Out from his car at certain points. So
yeah,
pretty sure he slept in that joint.
Light sending his goons on you, man. Call him a bum.
Bro, you're not a messenger if you just type bum. What kind of message is that?
It's like stealing a joke, basically, you know? Like someone else said this, but like you just said it louder.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm very nervous about the DK Direct. Very excited and very nervous. I can't believe there's a Direct dedicated to Donkey Kong tomorrow.
I understand getting nervous about a Smash Direct, like the characters, and maybe there's some shit that comes out and like it's a crazy mechanic in the game. What is there to be nervous about with a Donkey Kong Direct?
You just don't get it.
No, that's what I literally don't. That's why I'm asking you. What the fuck?
Okay.
Yeah, you just don't get it, Haz.
I just that is like literally what I said.
So if anyone keeps up with like the theories and the ideas behind the game and like what we think the game is, like there's been so much just from so
long. Time out. Who's we? What we think? Who's we?
I guess it's only me that really gaff. So
there we go.
Right, but there's a like from how little there's been, there's so much to take from it, and there's lots of theories. There's a lot of potential things that could or couldn't happen tomorrow, so I'm nervous. K Rool hasn't been a thing for many, many years, and if he shows up tomorrow, I'm going to freak the fuck out, but I just don't know if he will or not. I know that doesn't necessarily confirm or deconfirm him from the game, but the second trailer for Nintendo lately is usually the big reveal. Like for Odyssey, it was like you got like Cappy was introduced in the second trailer, like big stuff, like mechanically and like just, you know. So
Jesus Christ, you're trending the data?
Yeah.
Jesus fucking
There's Christ. Dozens of them doing this, Charles.
My so, God, you guys are trending data.
We could see Diddy Kong, we could see K Rool, we could see some sort of big gameplay thing.
Well, I think isn't Diddy like kind of revealed already?
It's kind of spoiler, so I don't want to go too far. Huh?
Diddy's like soft revealed already, right?
There's a lot of new renders of Diddy Kong, yeah, but not Bonanza yet.
Right.
Wait. When's the direct?
Tomorrow morning. Well, when they're watching this, it'll probably be like a couple hours after it happened.
Yeah, so you're not spoiling anybody. The information's out there. Go ahead.
No, like actual leak happened and got deleted like shortly
after.
Oh,
I see. Never mind.
I don't know if they're going to show that off and give us more detail on that.
Oh, DM me, bro. I'm into it.
You don't remember the big leak on the website that happened and it got deleted shortly after?
Oh, true. When they showed the Castlevania music for Ultimate the night before they announced Simon and Richter. True. I do remember like that. Hmm?
The character that was shown with DK that got removed. Okay.
I don't know, man.
Whatever. I'm going to text you it. I'm going to text you it real quick.
Just
you're texting
me? Yeah, that works.
Bro, I texted you text me back.
I texted it to you. Do you know what I'm talking about now?
Should I read it out loud?
No.
Should I read it out loud?
Oh, wait. That wasn't official? I thought that was official.
It wasn't official.
Oh, that's just
so that could be a big thing in the trailer tomorrow. That would be cool. But it's mostly just characters that I'm nervous for. Mostly K Rool.
What is your actual prediction? What's your prediction? Because so far you're saying I think something big will be announced, but it's a direct, so of course something big.
I don't have any mechanical predictions because like how could I even do that? Here's this thing, like what I would like to see. I would hope they make it clearer that the game is inspired by Journey to the West somehow in the trailer or like the direct. I would really like to see K Rool. In my brain, I consider it like a King Dedede when he was changed up a little bit for Forgotten Land, like his design there. If we saw like K Rool reintroduced to the series with like a new design, that would be cool. I would like to see Diddy Kong and maybe some bonuses like Dixie Kong. That's really about. I'm just nervous because it's just such a big thing and I'm so used to having nothing. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we said it before we started the show, but dude, the culture change around DK has been insane. Like
overnight.
You never get any games ever. It's been forever. And we're just going to keep selling you Tropical Freeze like until the end of time. And now you got a fucking door. Is it a half hour? Hour?
15 minutes.
Okay, well.
15 minutes.
I mean, if it's just news. If it's just news, like
we know nothing, so that's amazing. We know nothing.
How long was the Mario Kart one?
The same. It was 15 minutes. That direct really sucked, though. So the Mario Kart one, I don't know if y'all remember. It had nothing new.
Well, Donkey Kong's bound to have something new, no?
Yeah, because we know nothing. Yeah. We only saw the beginning areas because of the treehouse, and we saw the reveal. So, yeah. How you doing, Marcosaur?
Just got off work. Like that drone was weird. I was just sitting here, typing, and then they said podcast time. I said, "Oh, okay." Boom, and then I'm here. Hey, it's up.
Let's go.
I'm good. The days are still like weirdly long because I still have to like find time to drop my son off at my parents' house, but it's cool. It's cool. Life's good. I'm a little tired, but ain't nothing wrong with that. Chuck, talk to me. Talk to me. Wait, Az, what was that head shape? Hold on.
Chuck Asore.
Mix was so obvious, bro. That's
there was zero mix involved.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, dude.
I
not even a head fake always, or anything. You know?
Have no. Bro, you have no right to talk about mix.
Bro. I almost always pass it to Chuck. Like,
yeah, he's an upbeat boy. He actually gets offended. I don't want to hear nothing about mix.
I will remember that for later.
Now that's conditioning because the one time I don't pass it to Chuck, you're gonna be cooked.
Ooh,
and you're never gonna know when. You're just gonna.
It's true.
It's like Gavin's RPS strategy. Gavin's secret RPS strategy, which he has revealed on the podcast.
Legendary RPS strategy.
Yes,
yeah, so I saw you.
No, it's a stronger strat when they know.
I've seen you switch.
Yep.
It's very it's crazy. Rare, but I've seen you do it. Yeah.
That's when I switch, it's crazy, bro.
When it matters.
That's crazy.
But yeah, work's been good. I've been doing a good amount of like cement work and outdoors work. So a lot of sunscreen. But after this week, should be going back to painting. So more indoor activities. I like the indoor activities a lot here in Hawaii. So yeah, work's been going good. I've been sad playing Pokemon TCG because Mewtwo sucks. Very sad. Like, God, the deck is so bad. There was a really big tournament, and only two Mewtwo decks made it into the day two, which is like top 600 or something like that. Like, it was. I was thinking like, man, it's got to be all right, but no, it's trash. It's trash.
You've been playing a lot.
Yeah, it's trash.
You're on the grind, yeah.
TCG.
Unfortunate.
It's
but
cool. The spectator.
Yeah, it's fun. Fun game. How you doing, Haz? How's life been treating you?
Life is good, man. Hazor, yeah, true.
Sir Hazor.
I had fun watching CEO, but I was busy all weekend because I was at my dad's, which was great. And I sent Marcus a Happy Father's Day text, which was very good, in my opinion. I cracked myself up with that one. Got back to Marcus because he's laughing too. True.
First of all,
that was really good. That was
every time.
I held in my pocket for like a month, by the way.
I just realized Marcus is a human. I have to message Happy Father's Day.
You don't have to. You don't.
It's bigger like you're a really good friend if you do.
I mean, I barely messaged my dad Happy Father's Day, like
in a really bad one if you don't. So
that is not the case. That is not the case.
But yeah, I'm good, man. I'm chilling. I went out for Father's Day. It was like, you know, it's a drive back home. So I had a good time driving, which I really enjoy doing. Listening to baseball, which has been insane. All my baseball, co-baseball listeners, Boston is rocked right now. It's a great time to be a Yankees fan. What a W. But yeah, everything's been good. Watching basketball, playing Unite, playing my Switch 2, which I finally got, you know, all set up and situated and all that shit. I only got some time to play some games, play Mario Kart. Do you guys know who we should go? You guys all have mains in Mario Kart? We should talk about our mains in Mario Kart because you don't have one, Marcus? I didn't think so. Not yet.
My character's still in the game, I think. Yeah. We looked it up.
I know who Charles plays.
Let's see. Let the comments guess. And then we'll reveal next week on 199.
Have we really not said it before?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Who would remember that?
Like, I would.
The comments.
The comments will remember, or they would do the research.
We will reveal next week.
Who all of our mains are in Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Yep. Everyone guess everyone's main.
Hmm?
Guess everyone's main in Mario
guess
Kart.
Guess who I play in Mario Kart.
Donkey Kong.
Nope. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, it's Donkey Kong. There's nothing else.
Bro, you're a big Shy Guy guy.
I am.
You are, yeah. You were playing Shy Guy. You were also
secondary.
Shy Guy, right?
I like Wario too.
I don't like him as much in this Mario Kart. I don't know why.
Really? I love his animations and like the things he says. Have you not heard him when he does like okay in the race at the finish line? He goes good enough.
Well, I've never finished anywhere outside of first, so no, I haven't.
He's the Mario Kart goat.
Do they say different things when you don't finish first? I don't know.
I couldn't tell you. I've never got first.
Yeah. Oh, please, you stream this.
I've never got first. This. I don't
Dark
know if,
gap.
If I have ever won a race.
But yeah, Switch choose a W. Everything's good at home. Hanging out, watching Smash. Summer, dude. I'm having a great time outside. Help my brother do some work at his house. Yeah, everything's good, man. I can't complain. I'm excited for episode 200. We should plan something for it. Like,
probably. We definitely should. Yeah,
tell them we have nothing planned.
No, I mean, like, more than what we already have planned.
Oh, okay.
We did something. We did something really cool for episode 100. I thought that was cool.
We did. I think the thing that was really the home run was the. I like seeing people draw art and stuff. That was so cool. Yeah, that'd be neat. I know we're working on. We got some stuff in the works, so. I don't know. I was trying to figure out what tournament we're all going to be at, and I really hope we can all make it to Supernova. Gavin. Come on, man.
Isn't that
weird?
Possible.
It's very possible because we just drive. So.
That is so strange.
Yeah, even if you just come through for a couple days.
That, like, Gavin's the one we're like, hope you make it to this event. Like,
no, dude.
That is a weird.
Yeah, you used to be like.
Maybe enter Brawl or something.
Had to go. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, play Smash 4 Bayo, man. Go there.
She's banned.
Smash 4.
She's banned.
Is she?
Yep.
Oh, I'm about to go to
the rule set.
Oh, no. Gavin can't play Bayonetta. He can't win the Smash 4.
He was a one-trick pony in Smash 4, so.
God. I'm a star bitching, bro.
Wait, what?
I lagged out.
Imagine if I entered Smash 4.
But Gavin could play like any character and win the Smash 4.
Bro, I would get last place in that game. I played that game one time in like 6 years.
You gotta start grinding it.
I'm gonna try to do a run up down tilt. I'm a dash attack and die.
It depends on who you're fighting, but
probably yeah.
No, you're gonna play Donkey Kong and you're just gonna be grounded, walk, perfect shield.
Oh, true.
And win.
Perfect shield.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna release it. Like, oh, I'm gonna parry.
No, you're just gonna. Shield, that's it.
I gotta, and then you'll get I gotta test if this controller can perfect pivot.
Oh, dude, I forgot about having to do that. Like, oh, how is this
DK perfect pivot down tilt and jab was gnarly.
His jab was so. I was just thinking about his jab the other day. I don't remember coolest why. Jab.
That shit was so cool.
It was amazing.
Jab one.
You know what else is a really cool smash jab? Like, really fucking cool. And this is any game. Smash if y'all can guess what I'm thinking,
Brawl Meta Knight.
Ew. No, that's
okay. Hold on, hold on.
Cool. It was jab, all around him.
Cool jab in Smash Bros.
You gotta remember who's talking, though.
Oh gosh.
Is it? Does Gavin think it's cool because of a jab 1-2 cancel or some dumb shit, or is it like the actual animation?
Brawl Meta Knight. That was his only not cool move.
It was
cool.
All
it was just
him.
Terrible.
He had two lame moves, and it was back air and jab and brawl.
No, I thought back air was cool. It was just bad.
She was lame.
Yeah, back air was bad.
Dude, the off tempo versus it was so.
I give
good.
Up. I Ike brawl. Say brawl.
I knew it was gonna be some jab 1-2 shit. Like
that shit was too cool. I knew Marcus would get it, bro. I knew he would get it.
The sound it made.
It was so like it had like such like a thick sound.
It was quick.
Dude, when the third one would finally come out, that shit hit, bro. You know, Cloud could do it a little bit on the Smashville plat.
Yeah.
And I had a clip with it. It I've wasn't hit by good, it but I just liked the jab cancel. I did a jab 1-2, 1-2-3, and it felt like I was a brawl player.
Just for that one moment.
And
take me back.
The fact that Ike's jab did that and his down tilt spiked.
Oh, back then, yeah.
Could set up for some interesting situations. Link's down tilt also spiked.
Which was really weird.
So you could do a jab 1-2.
Peaches.
They were just trying that in Brawl. You know what I mean? Like,
Clicking down.
Here's an idea.
So.
The only semblance of it to this day is like Falcon up tilt in 4 and Ultimate, really. Of like a move kind of like serving that purpose, like in the corner specifically.
I mean, Peach's down tilt
doesn't. Well, Bayonetta down smash like... actually kind of brought it, but it's like the smash attack.
Yeah,
like,
it's the smash still... attack.
And then Kazuya just stole Bayo's flow. Like, shit's so whack.
Kazuya cool just too, came though. Through. No way. Her smash, she's got to have some of the most unique smash attacks she ever created.
Her down smash is so much cooler than Kazuya's. Don't even, bro.
I'm not saying Kazuya's it's cooler. I'm just saying his is, I mean, it's not really fair. Hers are like fucking super moves. Like, they're so cool. And his is raw, though. Like, the over the top.
I don't think it's cool.
It's just, it's like, just.
I think
like
his primal. Other smash attacks are cooler.
Like, what?
His other smash attacks, forward and up.
Oh, forward's insane.
Forward is
really
crazy.
Up? Up is so basic.
Up is cool. The wings come out.
Yeah, the wings come out, man. Animations.
Down smash, he just like hunches over and like it doesn't even have a lot of impact. Like,
don't the wings come out for a down smash?
Oh, I don't know.
He's spamming, bro. Dang.
Probably.
You're not a Kazuya expert?
Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, who cares?
In my head, it does, but I could just be making that up.
I mean, Bayonet is cooler. All right.
Well, I mean, that's true for sure, yeah.
Does any down tilt spike in Ultimate?
I'm sure it does.
Steve's if you fall out.
Well, there's a lot that spike on stage that you can't tech if you're grounded.
Down tilt?
Down tilt, yes. And you bounce off, you bounce up, right?
That's not a spike.
Well, right. I'm just saying, like, what is the definition of spike? Because spike, there are...
If the opponent is off stage, they get spiked.
They go down, yeah.
Okay, so it's when you hit an aerial opponent.
Down tilt.
Like Link and I can brawl.
I don't think
there isn't one. There's no way there's one.
I don't think so. Not an ultimate.
I'm just gonna look up the cast, man. It's too many characters. Like, I can't go through all this. I don't think so.
Right now, there's gonna be one. There's gonna be one, and we're gonna, you know, some random fuck like Ivysaur or something.
That shit spikes.
Close enough.
I'm pretty sure no.
Like, I'm almost positive no, but it's definitely one of
King
those
K rule, right?
No.
Does it spike?
I don't know if it
doesn't spike.
I know it like hits them up and out.
It can hit them diagonally out, but I think it can spike them. No?
No,
I don't think so. Damn it. That's good. As close as
we're gonna. You said down though, yeah. It specifically has to be a down tilt.
It has to be a down tilt.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, I know K rules for sure pops them up if they get hit in the air, so for sure not.
K rules doesn't spike like ever.
No. I think they just deleted the ship, bro. Look, I just looked at the whole roster.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like, imagine if Pyra's down tilt.
I literally was just having the same exact thought. What the fuck? It looks like it should. If she was a character in Brawl, it would.
100%. It has enough impact to like. Justify it.
I guess it's just a brawl thing, huh?
That's so wild because I got to her and literally thought, "Wow, her should do that." And then you said,
"Yeah,
We kind of like on the same wavelength today or something. What's going on?"
That's scary for one of us.
Ike jab. Yeah, they just took that shit out. And why doesn't Samus's do it if Falcon's does? I mean, Samus is way better because of it, though. I'm not gonna lie, that shit kills at 70.
Because it doesn't spike anymore. Yeah, it's just a kill.
If you're grounded, it pops you up. It's just weird that separation between Falcon and Samus, despite it being like the same shit.
It's also interesting. No, it doesn't.
Bro, turn it on.
I'm pretty sure it does.
I'm also pretty sure.
I don't think it does. Like on the way down, it always pushes you out.
I've never.
That shit looks cool, though.
I don't think I've ever seen K Rool's down tilt spike. I've seen it ground people.
I'm pretty sure if it spiked, we would know it. You know what I mean? Like you would be fishing for that shit all the time
or something. Yeah.
But then there's weird moves that like spike if you're on the ground, and then it implements the new mechanic in Ultimate that they brought in where you can't tech things on the ground if you're grounded and you get hit by a spike.
How do y'all feel about that? I think it's kind of corny, bro. I mean,
Cloud Up is only a thing because of that. Remember, that shit was trolling Smash 4. You tech that shit and up Smash.
Yeah, and I hate that move.
Like, but in Ultimate, it's godlike.
I am trying to reversal Peach for down tilting me.
you want some crouch cancel shit in the game?
And if Cloud Up beat, I'm trying to fully charge.
I think it's good for the game. I personally think it's
good. I think it's better to like not tech it, yeah.
Just like how I think it's good that footstool, you can tech a footstool. Like, I think that was healthy. Like, I think there was a lot of cool, really sick combos. Like,
super. It leads to cool clips if someone gets a footstool and gets the tech chase, though. That shit goes crazy.
Yeah, but it's so hard to have enough frame advantage to also get
the tech chase. Yes, you have to be in the right scenario.
Yeah, and you probably have to have some kind of...
I was trying to do some footstool shit today, and it just didn't work.
I think even doing, like, footstool in the air into, like, something like a... dive move or whatever, even if it's more of like you delay it to cover a certain tech timing or something.
I was doing my banana stuff on the platform and I did down air, and I usually get like an aerial or two, but I did down air and I always try to footstool and see if I can set up like another banana or like monkey flip edge cancel like kick.
Oh, that'd be nice if you.
I always like fuck up the footstool, so I just don't get anything. So
yeah, that's Smash 4 vibes. Like getting a spike on a grounded opponent or something like that at around like, you know, 30-40% in a footstool. It was around that percentage where you could just, because the thing about those percentage ranges too, it's like you can't really manipulate how far your character goes, and you could just in Smash 4 you could just react.
The coolest footstool thing in Ultimate, I think, is Mario's footstool into Rising Dare. That shit is like
very Rama got that in bracket recently.
I retweeted that shit instantly.
It is a very interesting concept. And when I'm in training mode, I try to do that with Wario's down air, and I can just never figure anything out. And a lot of the time, it doesn't work anyway. Like, it doesn't fully connect. But, like, imagine if you did, like, falling up air with Wario, footstool rising dare, and, like, for some reason, the momentum from it, like, makes it easy to, like, confirm it after. Like, imagine falling up air, footstool dare, and you're, like, moving, and then you do, like, a waft or something, like, double jump waft. Like,
ain't no way that would work.
I know, but...
are you saying you, like, cancel your lag from footstool and just, like, hit them right after you footstool?
Like, you footstool them, and, like, with the footstool, you do a down air, and it, like, brings them up with you.
Dang, how much meter are we burning for this, bro? This sounds real good. Like, holy shit, you're trying to add some fucking crazy mechanics. All right, so what if footstool became a rising aerial extender that makes you rise?
Dude, that's what Mario can do.
That's what Kurama does, yeah.
Well, that's one of the few characters. I could be mistaken, but I think it was Rockman who figured that one out.
I think so.
It only works against Steve, 50 characters.
Yeah, just a lab rat of the game, so I do enjoy watching their Twitter or whatever, but yeah. Has like found out a bunch of tech with Steve, obviously, because the character has a bunch of tech, but yeah, has found really cool stuff with like Jigglypuff, Mario, and stuff like that. Used to be a Mega Man main, so knows a bunch of Mega Man tech as well. So yeah.
That
follow-up is really cool. I think Pikachu can also do things like the footstool nair and stuff like that. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm so jealous. Stuff.
It's Dude, Pikachu has a bunch of cool shit, man. Like if I played cool Ultimate thing. Seriously, I'd probably play Pikachu. Like
your ass playing Fox.
At MomoCon,
he's so good, man.
At MomoCon, there was,
yeah,
I believe in
Pikachu. I forget the Sheik player's name versus a Mega Man.
You say Pikachu or Pichu, Charles?
Sheik.
Pikachu.
At MomoCon, Pika. There was a set,
yeah,
where the Sheik player kept getting confirms because they would up air on rush and they would connect it on the way up and they would double jump up air to kill them at like 30 because they would up air while rising on the rush and then do double jump up air and they would,
yeah,
be
true
in the last
combo.
Zone.
Yeah, they're too high at that point.
It was so cool.
And they can't jump. They can't jump to get out of the scenario because they die. So it's like they can really just try to mash air dodge or frame one out. But you probably are just...
It's just a true follow-up. As long as the first up air connects on the way up, they just double jump up air in the blast zone.
Jeez.
With like Sheik using Mega Man's rush is pretty crazy. I forget the tags of the players.
Okay, one thing I want... Okay. Thinking about the next Smash game, can we please take away up air projectile moves? Like, I think down. We all can just like, can we all just agree cool. that was a bit? No.
It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's because Mega Man itself, like the character itself, isn't that strong. Like, or like Mega, I still think Mega
it's
Man
way
is
way stronger.
But like, Game Watch up air is just better than Mega Man's, obviously, because Mega Man's is more cheesy in a sense. But also, Game Watch has better frame trap scenarios after a falling up.
It shouldn't be set knockback or whatever.
I just think the concept of a projectile up air is so good because if you just do falling projectile up air, that is like the most free frame
it
trap.
It should be like Ryu Hadouken though. You should just be able to hit it easily, like easy.
Oh yeah. Yes, it should not
it should
be able
to knockback mechanics. You should
it should
be
not be transcendent
at it.
A transcendent projectile up
I don't
air.
Think it's transcendent.
It's not transcendent because it'll like.
It's just hard to beat it.
Yeah, it'll like trade with like a wolf nair and then wolf will start falling and then just get hit by the next two hitboxes.
Oh, so it's multi hit. So it's not transcendent, yeah. But it's multi hit.
There's a couple aerials that do really well versus it. I forget what they are.
You just have to have. I actually don't know what beats up.
Is there a Palutena move that does well?
Is it Palu?
Air.
I think Nair goes
neutral air. I think it's neutral air.
Oh, because you're combating
multi-hits
or multi-hits.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
But it's just also hard to have enough frames to even get a move out with like any character.
And then like Nair lasts so long, man. But like they just bait it out and hit you for it. Like, it's just...
No, but I'm saying if we take out projectile multi-hitting up airs, like I just think that in itself can be so dangerous.
Game & Watch It was an interesting concept. They just like it should have different properties in some way. It should have a couple different properties.
You should. I think the general
this up air is fucking terrible in other games.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm just. Saying
I don't care about the Smash 4 down throw up air fucking. Doot. That moves hitbox. Oh my lord.
I think if you're gonna make a projectile up air, I would want at least most characters in the game to swing past it. Like that should be an option.
There's like an up air. It's so broken. There's multi-hit up airs that are insane. And then there's this projectile up air, which is kind of a newer concept, which is like insane.
That's some ultimate shit right there.
Bro, if I could have multi-hit up airs on all my characters, no one would ever get to play the game. Ever. Like,
well,
when I look at Byleth's up air as a Sephiroth,
goodness.
I'm so jealous. Byleth's up air is nasty. That move is nasty, bro. Like, I like it. Like, it is so cool, but it's also so broken. Like, if you were mobile, yeah. And like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's like Palutena up air. I think Palutena up air is
that move is so broken.
Big, a bit wider, and the DI mix-up is even more fucked up. I think so. Byleth's up air seems like a discount version of Palutena up air, but with a little bit more disjoint is what you're trading off for. Like, who do you think is better, Palutena or Byleth's up air?
Two moves.
I definitely think it's Palu.
It's hard because Palutena jumps so fast and high.
Oh, I see.
I was gonna say, do you count? Is it just the hitboxes and activation frames, or do you include the whole aerial aerial speed?
Palutena's is frame 10.
Like,
I don't know what we're talking about here.
Like raw character to character, or are you like, oh, if Byleth had?
I think if we're just looking at the two moves in a vacuum, two moves in a vacuum. Okay.
So like, if Byleth had Palu's up air, would that be better?
Byleth is the same exact frame, so this is very interesting.
Oh shit! Sure.
But you get the random DI mix on Palu up air, like it sends in a bunch of different trajectories. So sometimes you randomly cross up someone's DI.
I think
DI
Byleth is better.
Yeah,
but I can see Byleth being more consistent.
Byleth is a slightly better drag down than Palu's. It's a little bit more of a consistent drag down than Palu's.
Ooh, that's a good point. That's a good point. I like that.
And I think you can press up air in a bit more flexible spots as Byleth because of that. Like you can press it lower to the ground more often, I think.
Ooh, like you're saying as like a falling up air anti-air as you're coming back to the ground, just in case they decided to jump, you can get like some kind of
you
drag
can
down.
Press it
up.
In more flexible spots.
Yeah, you can also just like rise with it in a lot of places that you couldn't.
There's a couple spots, Palu. It's clunky to press it with Palu. Yeah. Like not extremely clunky, but noticeably.
Well,
clunky.
Right above Palu, you don't get the disjoint. So that's the one big thing when I thought of the two moves immediately. I was like, Byleth's biggest con is you have a bigger disjoint above your character. So that's really nice. But then, like, I guess I'm putting value in the fact that the Palu up air can randomly cheese stocks at earlier percents because of the random stuff, DI mix. Yeah. They're both really good. But yeah, I mean, the drag down thing, I can definitely see giving Byleth's up air the edge because you have like that drag down factor, which is really nice.
Yeah. I just want a multi-hit up air on a character I like.
So good, dude.
Multi-hit up air.
Does a two-hit up air count as a multi-hit?
Yep, that's enough.
Yep, absolutely. Especially the one you're thinking of.
That's more than one hit.
More than one hit.
Multi-hits are broken, man.
They are.
No, but you can get trade. Remember, that's the con. If you trade with a multi-hit.
Honestly,
that's one thing I think I think Pikachu has too many multi-hits. I think Pikachu suffers is because Pikachu doesn't have like this hitbox that does a decent chunk of damage. It's just a single hitbox. Like I think you don't want your character to have too much multi-hits. I think multi-hits are nice, and especially on something like an
Pikachu
up air.
Would like his neutral air back once in a while. I know. I can see it.
There
are spots where he would love just to have a move, just quick, just move.
Yeah. Yo, okay, you know what the best Pikachu Nair is? 64.
Okay.
Pikachu had like a classic
Mario. He's like
Nair.
A Mario.
Yeah,
Nair.
Like a Mario Nair.
They had a lot of good animations.
It's so bring back 64 Pikachu Nair. Please.
Sometimes when I'm watching Pichu scrap and just like Nair spamming and like fucking people up, I'm like, damn, Pikachu used to do that shit.
I need to see Pikachu hit a crisp sour Nair at like 90.
Dude,
I need a Fox combo, dude. Nair to upset.
Pikachu's brawl neutral air sound effect is like etched into my brain.
Yep.
It is so loud.
Really, Pikachu's Marcus?
Brawl neutral air specifically.
It's like squishy kind of.
Was it the twirl?
Is it like
lingers for a little bit? I don't know if that was the best impression, bro.
I don't know. I don't remember it.
It's loud. It's very loud. It's like screechy almost.
But Pikachu spun, bro. Right? In Brawl?
Yeah. But it like Pikachu lingered because of the way the move animated. Like the sound effect lingered.
I'm finding it. Don't worry.
Though the sound effect was, it's memorable.
Oh gosh, how do you even find anything Pikachu Brawl related? Like
that Pikachu Brawl is weird looking nowadays.
Is Brawl Pikachu lost in time, dude? We can't find like the audio file.
When you look at him, he it's like a weird game.
That's up here.
That's up. Like, look at Brawl Pikachu. What is he doing?
What is he doing?
Like, he just looks weird comparing him to the other games now. Aw, Wii U render is really cute.
Brawl in general, bro.
Yeah, Brawl Pikachu is weird looking, bro. What is
Okay.
That era in gaming.
Look at him.
Behold.
Bro!
Sorry, audio listeners, but...
I'm not the best person at making the sound, but, like, yeah.
Oh, you're upset that I said it was
like, Marcus,
like, it wasn't that bad. Come bro, on, man.
It was pretty bad. It was
weird.
You know when, like,
look like that?
You try to get someone to, like you go, like, hey, do you know that song? And then you, like, hum it to, like, what you're hearing in your head. And all they hear is, like, dun, 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 dun. And they're like, bro, what are you talking about? Yeah. That was me with that. That was me with Brawl Pikachu just now. Yeah, I was like, bro, I'm spot on. Like, what?
I just like how loud it was, and it like lingers with the spin. Like it like has a lasting. But yeah, I can see what Charles is saying.
I miss Pikachu having a like single hitting lingering.
The best multi hits to have are
because that also would help up with edge guarding too.
Up and forward.
Are you talking about for
Nair is really good too, man.
For multi hit aerials, you want up and forward.
I don't know, man. Having like
Nair is so good, dude.
Having a Diddy or like a Roy Fair, just something like right in front of you, solid, like that always feels like there's
Sonic forward air, Falco neutral air forward air. Neutral air kind of can get grouped in with forward sometimes if it does what I'm asking.
Yeah, I guess neutral and forward would be the same thing, right? Nah. You want to run in forward and
pally,
have
bro.
A
what else forward air, what a neutral air.
We need more multi-hit down airs that spike at the end, but I'm talking like kill you.
Like multi-hit Lucas?
Down airs.
Lucas's is like okay.
Wait, multi-hit
multi-hit down air.
Okay. We started this episode Kirby talking about multi-hit up airs.
I think if we had more of that
Kirby
in
general.
Like actually
no.
Good.
No.
Dude, it would be so cheesy, bro.
Are they adding lag to it? Because that drawing had no lag.
I mean,
we cannot go back to the world of multi-hit. Like, it's okay if Kirby has it in
bro,
Ultimate.
I just need one hit. I just need one of these.
Exactly. That's ridiculous. We were talking about multi-hit up air for juggling being broken.
I'm like spamming it with like five jumps as Kirby. Like, yeah. Yo, I just need one.
You're just twirling right at the edge of the stage, catching their Gyarados. You're like, yo, my timing don't matter. Like,
like sometimes, like Rosa, like that shit is kind of nasty in some scenarios because it's just out. Like, if all they need is just to connect it and you lose your stock, like
I love Rosa Dare.
The Rosa Dare is just out there. It's like,
oh, it's broken.
As soon as this hits, you're dead. Like, I don't care if it's sweet, sour, like.
I think the move design, I think how
I just hate all the down airs that are just suicide down airs that do nothing. Like, disgusting.
What, spiking down airs?
Yeah, and they're not even strong enough to compensate. Like, Banjo down air is a joke.
Yeah, DDD down air is a joke. I hate DDD down air. It's like such an ass move.
Dude, he's the character I would nominate for. I want his Brawl down air back, but I want it to spike at the end.
Who?
No. Absolutely not.
Christ, dude.
I'm all there with a spike attached.
You know, PM, it used to pop you up.
Dude, I want that on stage, too. Like, I'm trying to down air camp and kill people.
This is so crazy.
What a combination of words you just said. That was terrible.
Before this episode started, Gavin was talking about, like, no, that's not Smash, and he's over here. All right, I want a multi-hit down air that I can spam and kill people and with a spike.
Smash like, don't exist, man.
Bro, do you remember last episode?
When Fox Firefox, I'm doing ledge slip, DDD, brawl, bam!
remember last episode where we said top players shouldn't design games?
Yeah,
I'm a great example.
Wait, whose idea was whose idea was Game & Watch up here? Hold up.
That was one of the dev team.
Who do you think
I was like, I'm good, I could just pocket it.
Who do you think would be the best? Like, you have to get a think tank of a couple top players to design your Smash game. Who are you going with? But you have to do it. You don't have a choice.
Okay, unironically, me. Oh, I wouldn't actually do these things I'm saying.
Shit. Let's go. We'll go with Gavin last. Who'd you put? Dude.
Top players to design a Smash game. Let me look at them real quick.
Who is like reasonable people?
We have
where's the cutoff? Where's the cutoff?
Just say who you think it is. That's fine. If you're asking, I assume they're not there, would be my guess.
No, I haven't even thought yet. I'm just...
I have two people in mind from the community. They're not... One of them's not ranked, but yeah.
Say one.
Void.
I knew you'd say Void.
Hell
yeah.
No.
Good opinion. I agree. Yeah,
I might take the hell no back, but I'll still say no.
I agree.
Or at least I think Void is extremely good at testing games.
He'd like, be on the QA team.
Well, it's like... Just having him, I think you want people that lab to at least test your game and give their opinions on, like,
I just need a nice, reasonable human that is flexible and like can play a lot of characters,
or even like I think people like lab rats to me are good either testing the game right before it launches or when the game launches and they're like labbing stuff to make sure your game's in check and there's nothing like crazy broken. That to me makes sense.
How many, on QA.
How many people are we choosing?
We're just doing one right now.
Just one.
Let's keep going. Yeah.
Oh, Tyler.
Mars.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my Everyone's going to think Mars is the worst, but that's because they know content. But if you know him as a person,
yes.
Yeah, I think Tyler. Would
he's actually that. He's very flexible. He knows what he's talking about. He has experience with single player games, Smash.
He plays a lot of games, and he's a smart guy. In general, he has good opinions about games, and I don't agree with him every time. Like, we disagree heavily.
I actually don't agree with him often, but...
But I...
He has his reasons.
Yes, but I respect where he's coming from. Like,
and we're talking about balancing the game, because obviously, like, I don't think anyone in the Smash community, in terms of, like, players and stuff, could, like, design something like Smash.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, things like
Gavin we're just talking about competitive balancing.
But people think Mars is, like, debatably the worst answer, and that's because they just... They're not qualified to answer this question in the first place. But my answer would be Luis.
Ooh.
I'm down for that.
I like that.
I think he's a good candidate for a bunch of reasons.
Let's hear him.
It's kind of similar to Mars, but he plays a lot of characters. I think he's a nice, reasonable adult. And like, I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, yeah, and I think even like every time I've talked to Luis about the game, it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
and
he just
can
it makes
like
sense. He simplifies things like
right. I think the Larry would be really good too. I think Larry would be good.
That game would be too boring and easy.
Larry, no. Well, here's the thing is, especially if you know Larry throughout the past, he's a player that will find like he will see something and just be like, oh, that's like. Really That's broken right. And I can abuse it. And I think those are the kinds of players that you want balancing your game because they know the process. Like that's what you're trying to prevent is you're trying to prevent like super easy, dumbed down strategies that have very, very high rewards is what I'm assuming we're trying to stop. But
that's a part of it. Yeah.
Yes. And I think Larry is very, very good at that. And I think also Void is another player that's very good at it because Void is very good at the early metas of a lot of games. And guess what? You have to be really good at the early metas. It's not about being the better player. Like that is a part of it, but it's about finding out what strategies you can put your time into and that you can get instant value. Like what can I get the most value for right now? Instead of going like, oh, okay, well, if I grind this for 5 months, then I'll be really good. It's like, no, well, everyone really just cares about who's winning like right in the beginning. I mean, I guess, you know, 5-6 months is still the beginning, but yeah, like initial release type stuff.
Yeah.
And he literally has experience doing it. He's a great choice. Larry is too. I was just trying to make a joke, but Larry's amazing. I would respect his.
Dang, what's the joke? Shit.
Who's your answer?
I was going to say, I wanted them to be a top player from this last decade, but it's fine. We already moved on. I don't need to make a joke.
Jesus Christ.
What? Oh, no.
We love
Larry. He knows that. Shit. What else? Can we talk about CEO for a second?
Sure. We just completely forgot off of
CEO. I have the bracket up. So,
let's see. Ready. What do we talk about first?
Ola beat Lima.
Yeah, that was big.
Everyone hates Lima, this planking thing, including Cola. So
stop planking.
He probably felt very good after that.
Beast Mode Paul had a rough tournament, bro. Something else that really stuck out to me. He lost to the Roys from Georgia, bro.
Yeah.
Beast Mode Paul and Omega, which was grand finals of MomoCon, actually didn't even get ninth. Top 8 at this tournament.
They both got 9th, yep.
It happened. I mean, yes, it definitely happened.
It's just literally just such an obvious cycle that happens. Like, they're reaching that next echelon. They have to bounce back after losing the next time. Like, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Of course.
Shout outs to who else we got a shout out here? What else we got? I'm trying to remember.
I mean, when's the last time Anand lost a tournament?
I know. From losers, too, after losing in winners. And oh, Apollo, that was the first one. Apollo Kage had a great tournament for the first time in a while, it feels like. You know, Apollo Kage, especially around the time of the summit where he killed Charles's spirit, he was like on the path to becoming the next big thing. And I think he just like kind
of at that tournament, that was his first win on Leo. So that like he and especially back then too,
Leo too. Was
really good. Yeah, he stacked up a shit ton of wins.
That Gluto set, I remember to this day because he was doing some shit.
Yeah, I mean that was a crazy breakout performance for AK, and it seemed like from out of nowhere too. Like we knew about AK, but to get wins like that at that summit was just absolutely insane. And also had my most favorite Mafia game, and I'm retired from that game because of
still
that.
Your banner picture this day. Good lord, yeah,
it's still very funny. Obviously,
did not think it was funny at the time. Is what I'll say.
I can look back and laugh. And I can happily accept my retirement from Mafia, dude. I'm down to go out like that.
That's your last game ever. That's pretty good.
I'm down to go out like that, man.
It is good to see.
I stood on business, man.
Even though he could have won the tournament, definitely winner side grands. It's good to see him back up there, even if he didn't win. He did go to Japan and stayed for longer and grinded. He's always a grinder. He's a hard worker. So it's good to see that pay off after, you know, really putting the time in recently. So I'm happy for the kid. It's good to see him do well again. And then obviously we talked about Omega. I got to talk about Karu. Belmont, everyone's saying CEO is not a major because a Belmont made top 8. Come on, guys. Come
specifically
on.
Why?
I know. That's what they're saying. Hey, well, this is amazing.
Here's the proof.
You're asking
let's not even look at who entered.
If you got top 8, you would be saying, yeah, it's a CEO. It's a top, you know, it's one of the biggest fighting game tournaments in the world is what your ass would be saying if you made top 8 at it. True. Okay. We'd all be saying it. But Belmont gameplay, and especially, so I had to go back and watch the VODs because I was busy all weekend, but I saw Belmont made top 8. I was super hyped.
So you had to watch every single game Belmont was in.
I did. I watched the Skeleton set. I watched the Omega set, and I watched the, let me think, what was the last one? And the Ploopy set in Winners, which is like, I feel like, okay, so CEO, like, what a great tournament for Belmont to potentially do well at because it's 2 out of 3 for such a long time. So you can matchup check. Like, you just got to steal 6 stocks real quick and not get picked off stage, like, 6 times. Hey, hold on. That sounds kind of nice as Belmont, to be honest with you. Like, I feel like the pressure's so – it's on your opponent to figure it out. And I don't know. He played very fundamentally. Like, when he was playing, I was like, here's what I think you should do. And then he would, like, kind of do that. But he also, like, bro, game 5 going off stage against Omega. Did you guys watch the set, or am I just the only one?
I did.
Okay, cool. Going off stage against Omega, instantly game 5 with that drop zone there. I was like, what the? This guy's doing that when he was up 2-0. Now it's 2-2, and you're losing game 5, and you're going off stage with a nair. This guy's insane. And then going off stage and doing the angled. Nice. Producer Chris killed it. That was right on time. Going off stage and doing the angled whips, it doesn't seem like a huge deal. But when you're learning that for the first time, you definitely SD because you down air by accident, you immediately eject yourself in the bottom blast zone. So to do it in those situations and to have the confidence, like Belmont's an execution test through and through, obviously for so many different reasons, like really hard to kill with until you get them at 190, then a straight hit does it with a fair forward tilt, whatever. But he was down smashing like game 1 when Omega was marching back and started taking, like it looked like Omega might steal game 1. Just raw down smash took game 1. I was like, what the fuck? And that's kind of what you have to do as the character to win. Something else that really pisses me off about this matchup is turbo scary for Belmont, like really bad. And Omega didn't do it enough. Like if Joker camps you, His mobility, bro, it feels like you're literally playing two, like you're an N64 character. You know what I mean? Like, he's just so fast. He could, his aerial jukes are just crazy. Offstage gun can just kill you, which did happen in the set, but I only think once. His low crosses were so good, like just so good. Defending himself offstage with the low crosses, very impressed by that. Arsene, fuck, dude. He back airs you at 30 mid stage. You might just die. Like, with 30, 40, like, that back air, the angle...
Back air combo and a dash attack, you're off stage at, like, 60%. Wait,
Omega loses this game?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So...
Does it involve...
He didn't camp, bro. He didn't camp.
I would have... I agree with you, Haz. And what I would have liked to see from Omega is, like, not... He fell into the pressure and the pacing and started matching because Karu was doing a lot of rolls and spot dodges and reversals. Mm-hmm. And like,
Belmont Life, but yeah,
putting out like quick numbers in scenarios where if Omega just simply wasn't dealing with it, things would have just came naturally to him.
I love that three piece. Sorry,
so I think that three piece. It's really important to just like not deal with like the hype and the pressure of the set or the crowd, and just kind of ignore the low tier in a way, if that makes any sense.
Well, Omega started side being really well too, which is really good in the late, because it's low-key good against Belmont, especially if it's powered up from Arsene. Like, you can use it at certain distance to fight the projectiles,
and
it's
forced through like the setups and stuff.
And what was the other and as Belmont, when you start playing against someone in the game one, the kills that, because with God, how bad is this character that I think of it this
like
way?
That kill on screen from production is the perfect example of like they lose just to themselves, because that was multiple buttons into a spot dodge, and Joker just naturally had a back air out, and if you don't punish any of that, it's fine, nothing's happening, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and if you're the top tier in that scenario, you always benefit. It's not like Belmont's gonna power himself up or something like that. Like, you don't care that a projectile's out, you know what I mean? So
totally.
It always benefits you to wait.
Game one, like the way that Karu was stealing stocks, like it was like holy water at the ledge, neutral get up and you get a stock. As a Belmont, like when you get stocks gifted to you like that, you're like, oh fuck, I can win this set for sure. Because now they're going to be afraid of that option. So I look for the other options. Or if they do the mistake again of neutral getting up or don't know the tempo, that to me is communicating you don't know the matchup as well as you should. If you're losing stocks this early to my character, God. You gotta, like, how bad is this character like that? I had those thoughts. Because when I saw him land the first couple, I was like, I think he's going to win this game. But then the Belmont thing happened where it's like, oh, he's up 3 stocks to 1 or whatever. I have a low 2 stock to 1. Then just started losing and dying. I was like, oh, shit, here we go. Like, it's just, they literally, it just feels like they don't ever have a lead. You just get hit once the wrong way. Now you're gambling 50-50. I know it's not literally a 50-50, but you're off stage. They take your double jump or read that you throw a projectile, you're fucking dead. Like, you're just dead. So really good stuff, Karu, for like good recovery mix, like all these other things. Protecting himself with the projectile a lot. The cross was amazing. Like, he just did a really good job with that. The thing that's really fucked about this matchup in particular, and you all already know what it is, Joker's hurtbox, bro, and not even his running one. Like, not even his running one, but in the fucking air.
Yeah.
There were so many times where just he's getting hit by holy water, and Karu would jump and try to aerial him, and it would just, like, seemingly, like, go between his legs or some shit. Like, just miss for no fucking reason. I was like, dude, it's a really hard and unforgiving matchup. Look at this. Wait, hold on. I love this. This kill is crazy. Boom! Offstage. I love that shit. And God, that, if you fuck it up, he's down-airing and he's losing. And that's it. They're low-key against characters, like, with the more linear recoveries, they can go off stage if given the opportunity. It's just a big gamble, especially when their ledge trapping is so cookie cutter and good. Like, obviously one of the good things about their gameplay. But he did that shit game five. He did it to
game
win
five
the set.
Last stock. Holy dude, shit! Charles, throwing it going, all down on the line off stage.
Off stage like fucking crazy, man. And
hit the nair and then also hits the back air affair at the very end there. And that was like deep off stage, like Belmont
without
was
a jump.
It back. Without a jump, like, that was an that is what we call it. Yeah, that was a checkmate all in edge guard right there, which is
so good, dude.
But I love seeing that in tournament game five, because we're seeing players do like the in terms of optimal risk reward. It seems so nice to see that in tournament. So that's definitely one thing I enjoyed. What for me when I was watching the set, it's like Omega is. It's like one of those situations, especially when you're going up against a low tier character, that happens when you're up an entire stock and then you lose your first stock, but they're at high percentage second stock, and you feel like you have to get the stock. The reason, now here's the thing about just like low tier characters in general. In Smash Brothers, the character with the lead doesn't have to time the other person out, but they don't have to approach into hitboxes, right? Like, the thing is with low tiers, like if you run at Kirby, Kirby has hitboxes to combat you.
He will beat your ass, bro.
Yes, but Kirby doesn't have the mobility to break through your wall of hitboxes or your defense to actually open you up, which is where you abuse some of these lower tier characters with low mobility. And when you lose sight of that, even just for a stock, you give that low tier main a chance, and it can be brutal because these low tier mains, they don't have the best. Their characters' neutrals usually aren't the best, but they have to make up for it by having crazy offense. Like, they get a hit, they know how to convert it really well. And I mean, right there, the thing about Belmonts is kind of reminds me of Banjo. These characters fall into like very hard to play and not that good. So it's like you have to put in like a crazy amount of time to do all right damage. Like, you could just do the same amount of labbing with Steven, just be zero to deathing people, you know what I'm saying? So like, just the amount of time you're putting into being good with the character. But obviously it's super sick that you're playing a character you like or enjoy, right? And you're trying to, like, master and bring out the full potential of the character. I think
Chris, can you rewind it there real quick? Like, this is a really scary part of just in general. The matchup is just so right here. No, I think it was the other side, sorry, when Belmont's recovering on the right. Sorry, we're doing this live. Back a little, dude. He almost had the setup too. But it missed because it's fucking Joker. It's a part of it.
Well, and Belmont's hitboxes, you have to be very precise. They're not very active.
Yeah,
Belmont.
No, they're Belmont's not.
Hitbox. Yeah, like they're very. It reminds me of Sephiroth in a way, but Sephiroth. I always compare on top Sephiroth of that more. Yeah, because you just have to be very precise, and then on top of that, you got to angle your aerials too. Like, it's hard, man, and you have to do that a lot. You have to do it in neutral, you have to do it to recover. Like, there's a lot of like tech checks when you're playing this character, and you can just lose stocks if you miss them.
Yeah,
I think that's why Haz and I can vent to each other about her box shifting, because our characters like are just more susceptible to it than others,
bro.
And some people might not notice it as much as we do, I think. Just because we deal with it like actively with our like normal moves, not even like a setup or a kill confirmed, like just trying to play. Yeah, that's why I'll always be jealous of Belmont's for being able to angle the aerials.
It's very cool. And there's,
no, it's a really cool mechanic. I just wish I could do it with my forward air once in a while.
Do you have
it'd be nasty.
Game 5, almost to win the set, like the last like last stock for Joker. He had the holy water crossed into charge F smash. I'm pretty sure it just missed because it's fucking Joker, dude. Like, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's, I think it's tight anyway.
I think I forget what it was. I think the timing was off somewhere though, just barely. It just wasn't gonna work because of the position. I forget. Yeah.
So right here, like all those situations, like hovering that close to the ledge is so scary. Oh, is this it actually? Yeah, I think so. I think it's coming up. If it's not, then whatever. Take this.
Like, these rolls aren't needed.
Rolls, yeah.
Oh, this is game one. Never mind. Yeah. Omega actually almost brings this one back. But game one, you know, obviously you had the SD early on, which we saw. But then it was like another early stock. And as a Belmont, like, there's no greater gift, bro. Like, I was waiting for him to down air, by the way. Look at those low crosses. That's what I'm talking about. That shit was nice.
Yeah, you put a hitbox to the drop zone area you want to be at. That's smart.
That too, like, to me, okay, question there. Did he just miss the forward air, or was it Joker's hurt box, or is he still intangible at that point when he's in the little animation? That's a wild down smash that he went for. Crazy.
I wasn't paying attention, I don't think.
The end of Joker's Tetracorn, the actual counter with Arsene.
Oh, he still wasn't able to be hit, I don't think.
That's what I think too. Okay, I couldn't tell. But
I'd have to look at it again.
Either way, I was really psyched to watch some good Belmont play, making top eight, and getting good wins. And he got to play against Skeleton 2, which, you know, I've always said, like, I felt like Fighter Pass 2, I'm not going to sit here and say it's good for Belmont, but they got some nice stuff. Like, fighting against Kazuya, it's in their wheelhouse, you know what I mean? It's still a stressful match. Like, Kazuya, like, Belmont's disadvantage being bad. What's that?
He angled the forward air up instead of...
It was enough time, okay. Kazuya's thing is, he kills the entire cast in one hit, so Belmont's already used to that. So it's not like, oh, I have a shitty disadvantage state and Kazuya's gonna exploit that. It doesn't matter. Like, you just can't get hit by the move no matter what character you're playing. So it's like, to me, it's in the wheelhouse. But then I was watching Game & Watch, bro. God damn, that matchup. Like, I used to think, like, it wasn't that bad. You get hit once, you get grabbed once. Like, you're just in, you're just,
I mean, you're the type of character that just dies to the uppie.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Offstage, yeah, yeah, yep.
Then you just get hit by the turtle one time.
Dude, it's crazy. Game, we were actually talking about Game & Watch a little bit before the pod started, and honestly, Game & Watch wouldn't be too bad if they just didn't buff his reflector, yes. Man. Like, the reflector to me, everything about Game & Watch is like, okay, cool. Like, if you just don't interact with this, if you can have a move that outranges Nair, like sword characters, right? Then it's like, okay, that's one part of the game where it's not as bad, right? But if you had projectiles and you could just not deal with Game & Watch's shield and him getting up close to you, but the fact that Game & Watch has a reflector, it almost feels like it brings him all together into the top tier, well-rounded character that he is. And then on top of that, you just get like omega free matchups. So it's like, mm-hmm. It's weird because when I think about Game & Watch, you fall into this category of, wow, I am just well-rounded for a lot of different characters. And there's also a group, not even just a couple, like a group of top tier characters that I just free up. That is just really, really strong for me. Like the first thing that comes to mind is like Fox, Snake, two very, very important characters to win if you want to win an S plus or an S tier or P tier or whatever, right? Like, so yeah, I mean, it's just an interesting character, and I think the down B is what really brings it all together. And I mean, like Game & Watch isn't that interesting. I know most people don't like watching Game & Watch, but at least to me, Game & Watch is just, when I watch it, I just look at it, I'm like, this is overtuned Smash. Like, he has obviously like really broken moves. I think the thing that sets him apart is like fair setups. Also, in terms of offense, like his, just how you can abuse fair is so crazy. Cause we even saw Poopy go for things like fair into like charge up Smash by Steve Wall, things like that, where it's like, when you have so much frame advantage on a simple aerial, that's also a projectile to set up scenarios like that, it's really good. So I did enjoy watching Poopy go through his run in top 8 of CEO. Cool. Just another different type of Game & Watch, and I think it also just proves that this character is very strong. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you. If you don't think this character is strong, there are a lot of players like Poopy and Monty. So like there are Game & Watch players in almost every tier of professional
success.
Play.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, what? And multiple in said tiers too. Like this has to be like, just results wise, has to be one of the best characters. And even when Mia started, having his rise, just starting to, like, that's when I really started looking at Game & Watch's moves and just being like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, I mean, even before that, like with Meister too, like this character has been relevant for the entire lifespan of this game, but it's just interesting how he feels like he's getting stronger as we're getting towards the ender part of the game. Like later.
Two things. One, there are that many Game & Watches. They all play the same color, though. Yep. What's good with that? Come on now.
Like, it's a good color, bro.
I like, dude, Default is fire. He has a lot of good colors, though. It is. I'm going to say it's a back color. I'm like, what the heck? Default's amazing, obviously.
Bro is cheating.
Yeah. I use the white or the gray to make it hard to tell if you're air dodging or not.
That's a Vicky Kitty special. She said that to me. I was like, I can't believe you. The other thing is, would you say, because obviously I feel like in Smash we typically have one, like, the best character, right? Like, the Meta Knight, Fox, Bayo, Steve, whatever. But I feel like there's always a gatekeeper character that isn't the best, but low-key affects the meta just as much, if not better. To me, that's like Smash 4 Cloud. Like, he's not the best character, but God, if you couldn't fight him, which many characters could not just fight him, you just pocket Cloud, right? The whole thing. Would you say Game & Watch is the gatekeeper character of this game, where he just, like, you run into Game & Watch and you have a bad matchup against him?
I think he's a good example. There might be multiple in Ultimate.
Okay, let's hear him.
Weird, because, like,
it used to be Paulo.
Yeah, it used to be Paulo. I think Paulo had it before.
I think Game & Watch is what Paulo is now, or was.
Okay, I can say that, yeah, because...
That's a good take.
Paulo is one of the best characters in the game. I think it's weird with Game & Watch, because... Bro's just gatekeeping you because he's just that good.
Yeah.
Same with like Rob and stuff. So it's like hard to say.
Rob kind of is too. Yeah.
Like one of those like Brawl had like Dedede, right? Who like literally.
Yes.
Lost to everyone above him and beat everyone below him. Like there was no. That was just it. I don't know if there's a character like this in that game, like that in this game, though.
Yeah. Game & Watch does fit a lot of what we're saying, though, like, where it's clear when, like, someone has no chance.
Yeah.
I guess it is weird, because sometimes they are also top tiers.
Yeah. Yeah. What I was going to say is you have to keep in mind, contextually, Ultimate is the biggest roster we've ever had by a lot, and the most balanced roster we've ever had by a lot. So it won't be like Cloud against Ness in Smash 4 or something like that. It'll be 1-to-1,
yeah.
It'll be, yeah, it's the ultimate version of it is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Ultimate version of Smash 4 Cloud.
I think
of like a, yeah, gatekeeper. Yeah. Like not the best in the game, but damn, they're close and they really fuck characters up, maybe even more than top tier.
Game & Watch is great. There's Min Min, there's Game & Watch.
Min Min's a good one too.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest example.
There's Rob, of course.
Hit. Like, if you lose to Min Min, you
if
lose.
We're talking about gapping bottom tier specifically, like more of a broad DDD angle, it's definitely Min Min.
It's not even like it's brain off, no thought. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Falco down throwing.
But yeah. Like, I also think that with Min Min, and then I also think about characters that can't get past Steve Block, and it's like,
yeah, but it can't be the best character in the game.
Yeah,
that's a different guy. That's a different guy.
It's just funny because I'm trying to ask the question of like, oh, which character that like which character has the craziest matchup deficit, right, in Ultimate? And I was just like, but I don't want it to involve Steve. And it's like, it's clearly going to be Steve and like some shit character. Like,
I think just can't even get Rob them. Are so funny because they're like retro characters and they have such a similar impact to Ultimate throughout the whole lifespan. Kind of like what Charles said about Game & Watch being relevant the whole time. Like Game & Watch and Rob have received such hatred for the entirety of the game and just never gotten nerfed. Like, and they're just two like retro guys. Like, it's
to be
so
fair,
funny.
They okay, those characters deserve it though. They've been ass for a long
deserve the hate.
No, they deserve good the characters are. Like, I think it's cool that everyone, like, as someone who's been an enjoyer of, you know, try hard Smash.
Rob side B having a purpose is nice.
Yeah.
They did that with a lot of moves that used to be dog shit, bro.
Nikita.
Mayo's Jab, shout out.
Luigi Dash Attack.
Game & Watch's bucket is now insane. I wanted to go back to that because I liked what Charles was saying. So something
I think that's the glue that like really put all the pieces for Game
totally.
Watch. It is like,
it's not the most broken thing about him.
Yeah, it's not the most broken thing about him, but it makes it so he can apply said broken thing to projectile characters.
If a projectile character is fighting Game & Watch, Game & Watch doesn't have to do the bucket to threaten anything. He just approaches for free because they don't want to press the projectile.
Yep,
because it's a risk.
It absorbs, it reflects.
The reflect is just so insane, bro.
For so many years, I was like, why am I losing Game & Watch Diddy? Why am I losing Game & Watch Diddy? And I was like, wait, I can't just spam forward air and banana. And he gets close to me because of the reflect. And I was like, that's why I'm having a hard time. And I'm just so glad you mentioned the reflector because, like you said, it really brings everything together. And for a character that can be a little awkward in some spots, it's removed in a lot of aspects because of the threat of bucket. He doesn't even have to do it. You just have to be scared of it. And now he's running up to you. And what happens when he runs up to you? He wins. There you go. So it's just
another,
you're fighting for your life or the grab or whatever.
Yeah. Once he gets that opening.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing to mention too is Game & Watch's bucket before Ultimate, if you guys don't know the history of Game & Watch bucket, it used to just absorb energy type moves. So not physical moves. So like a Link arrow would not get, you would just get hit by a physical move. And the other thing about absorbing energy based moves, it would never reflect it back. It would store it into the bucket. So that also is a factor too, because if Samus does charge shot and you absorb it, it's not bouncing back at you, right? But if you throw Diddy Banana and you get reflected, physical things now get reflected. It went from like hitting Game & Watch to now reflecting
to punishing him. Yeah, right.
Right. So it's like that in itself is a huge buff because you're not, even if they made it so like, some way somehow you absorbed the physical projectile, that wouldn't be as bad because you're not getting reflected back at you, right? But they went from like it's a weakness to you know go up against physical attacks, but now you're just straight up like reflecting everything back. So like you went from getting hit to now I'm reflecting everything.
You know what they did? It was the physical special split of Gen 3, but he was, you know what I mean, he was like, or the special split of Gen 1, And he was Chansey, where it counted for both his attack and his defense. You see what I'm saying? Like, you get the comparison I'm making here?
Yeah. Oh,
Marcus, go. He's gone.
Yeah, Marcus is.
He had to dip.
He's got to go. All right, go. Anyway.
Happy late Father's Day. I'm sorry.
I sent him the LeBron Happy International Women's Day, and I said Happy International Father's Day, but with LeBron saying it.
Nice.
Because we love LeBron here. Anyway. Either way, this is a fun episode. Shout out to Belmont.
I think those were some really interesting conversations sparked from Theo. I didn't watch a lot of it. I had a busy weekend, but I did watch a little bit. Shouts to Cola bouncing back a little bit. So we have two Steves, two Roys, Game & Watch, Bayo, and Belmont, which is like, oh, and Snake, of course.
So, yeah, the Cola versus Lima was interesting because I think Lima isn't necessarily with the planking. I don't think Lima's trying to time people out necessarily. Like it is, but I think what Lima's trying to set up for is 1 minute on the clock, both players at last stock 0%. I think that's generally what Lima's going for. And even if Lima doesn't necessarily have a percentage lead in that situation, as long as it's even stock, Bayo can spit damage out, right? So I think what Lima's strategy is, like, it does involve time, yes, but it's like you're just burning every ledge interaction. You burn some time and then you want it. You're trying to set up a late game where it's like, okay, who can spit out the most damage and not die? Because I think Bayo is stronger in that scenario than trying to get the kill. And like, because if it's last stock and Bayo's trying to get the kill and the opponent's above, like way past up tilt back air percent, it can be really hard for Bayo to just land that one final last hit, right? So to me, it makes sense. So I did like Cola when Cola was fighting up against Lima, when Cola would just to interact with the... Because what Lima does to snap to ledge most of the time, the safest thing to do is to ABK to it. And Lima will set up various witch twists and usually go like witch twist in the ABK or double jump or triple jump in the ABK. You kind of have to read what Lima's going to do before the ABK. But Cola was going out there and getting like runoff fares to get the stock. So even punishing the setup to burn time as well. So, I mean, I know some people aren't a really big fan of Lima planking the ledge. Obviously, ledge planking isn't that fun to watch. But I think the concept makes sense and what you're trying to like put your character in the situation for, because Bayo is such a unique character. You can't just do standard strategies to get the W. So I do like that Lima is trying everything he possibly can to win. And to me, when I think about it, it makes sense.
Totally. And in the mental warfare, too, is so like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah,
the players he's playing against just behave so poorly around it. Mm-hmm. Like they just get so pissed off.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence.
It's Smash Brothers. It's like I don't know why, but oh my god, wow! The fair push off as well.
The gun hold is always really swag.
Yeah, the gun hold on the fair is what we're watching for the audio listeners. But to me it's like,
man.
Everyone, if you've watched Smash for a long time, you've seen this so many times. Everyone just timing each other out at the late part of Smash. Guys, it's no surprise. The next Smash game, if you just start camping right off the rip, it's going to work too. Like, just camping is strong. And even in the first year of the game when everyone's running at each other, like, the really, really good players didn't necessarily, like, time you out, but they played patient and they waited for specific interactions and they're not rushing things out and they're gambling more on their reactions rather than guessing. It's no surprise. So, like,
it's just
I get that it's upsetting, but like, it's just fighting games in general, man. It's patience, man. You gotta have some kind of patience.
But that's why, too, it adds to the magic of a new Smash game, because people kind of just fucking run at each other because they don't. They're figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way to camp has not been developed yet, and it's easier and more natural to fight each other. So when people see shit like this, they just don't. It's like you buy the game not to.
Yeah,
press zero buttons or whatever, right? Like, you buy the game to play it and to interact with people.
I think what frustrates me about people being so mad about the quote-unquote planking is that they don't understand it and they're calling something planking that isn't planking. I can understand that it's incredibly lame, right? Like, yes, of course. Like, it's not interesting to, like, spectate. But it is annoying when they, like, say certain things about it with an extreme lack of understanding. Like, what it's doing is getting maximum invincibility on the ledge grab. It's not planking. They're only invincible on the ledge one time. Like, like, and there's so many situations where, like, yes, I know it's lame, but the person playing against Lima in these spots a lot of time, they're just playing against it really poorly. They're not giving Lima any visual cues to bait them into getting up. They're, like, just dashing in the middle of the stage, like, having zero frame advantage. Like, a lot of the time, not only is it not planking, the opponent's also playing really poorly around it most of the time. I understand Fox and Roy have a hard time dealing with the ledge hangs in general, but there are certain ways you could position that would be a lot more beneficial. And like I'm saying, it's not planking. It is not planking. Stop.
The only character.
It's not planking. They're not invincible. They're invincible one time like everyone else.
Except Steve. Steve's the only character in the game that can actually plank.
Yes, that's planking. Do not group them together. It's not the same thing.
That's planking. Because at the end of the day, after five grabs, I think it's five ledge grabs, you can't grab the ledge for the sixth time unless you hit ground. So yeah. It's like, the thing with Bayo is you can let Bayo set, like, grab the ledge over and over if you really want to. But eventually Bayo has to, like, normal get up or hit the platform or hit some kind of ground. So there, I do think there are even scenarios that you can just simplify it and just be like, in the middle of a tournament, you can just be like, oh my God, I've never fought up against this. What do I do? You can literally just run at the center of the stage and just, like, do nothing, right? So it just depends. Like, obviously, I think Kola won that set because he knew how to interact with Lima on the way to the ledge. So that was really good on him.
Just a little bit getting offensive reward. Time did way
more. Right. But if you have no idea what to do against Bayo and how to combat Bayo's options from the ledge or to the ledge, because ABK and Witch Twist are pretty solid moves to get there, and they're just really good air-to-air options in general, you can just, like, go by roll crouch or just run a little bit more towards center stage, and Bayo eventually has to get up. And yes, it does burn time, but I mean, if we want to complain about this, we can just lower the timer, like I said years ago. So, guys, no surprise, the players here are going to play to win, and that involves burning the clock. So we can just speed the process up for everyone and lower the clock if we really want to. Or if you guys want to, like, go through these interactions and really have 7 minutes of this, sure, let's have a 7-minute timer, man. Let's get it.
I guess final thing on this, especially because, like, I get extra passionate about it because of the lack of understanding. Once again, I get it. The shit Lima's doing is not interesting or fun, but there's just...
But it's not planking.
It's not planking. There could be a lot more done about it. And, like, I don't know. It sucks when it gets grouped in with something that's, like, actually planking. But, like, if you think of a character like Fox and Roy, which is what we've seen Lima do it against lately, these characters, when they're ledge trapping, they put pressure on you with, like, certain things that are, like, visual cues, and they kind of lock you into certain timings when you get up. And if a character has maximum ledge invincibility from the air time, they get to kind of wait it out for longer, and the player they're up against starts to hesitate because their cycle they go through to force you to get up doesn't force you to get up anymore. And it really calls out these players because now their ledge trapping the game isn't being played by itself anymore. Like, their cycle isn't doing it for them anymore. Like, Roy pressing a button and it forces you to get up. Now they don't know what you're going to do, but they know when you're going to do something. So the ledge gets played naturally. Like, it just does it for them.
It becomes more flow charty, which is very strong in a tournament environment where high pressure scenario. Yeah.
Right. I pressure you once. Now you have to do something. I don't know what it is, but I'm ready for anything because I'm locking your timing forcibly.
Yeah.
But if you have a lot of air ledge invincibility and you have more options than the traditional ones, like get up, roll, jump, you can, like, grab it a second time. You can wait a little bit longer. You have a lot more ledge invincibility. They just fall apart. Now they just start dash dancing in center stage because their ledge trapping isn't working anymore. Now they can't, like, they're not even focused on positioning or anything anymore, or, like, corner pressure or whatever, because they don't know what to do. Like, if Fox does, like, a falling nair and it's not forcing you to get up anymore, they just freak out. But there's a lot more they can be doing. It's not as beneficial in, like, in your face, like the reward. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. It's very interesting. But there's a reason it's being done against these specific characters. Like, very specific. Like, Fox and Roy are very grouped together in this scenario specifically. But yeah.
Or even something like a wolf, right? A wolf is classic.
Not as much because it's not as rapid. He can't just keep forcing you to get up. And
have, oh, it's not like the string of attacks aren't as... Time. Yeah, I see.
Fox trying. And Roy have frame advantage the entire time while they're still pressing attacks. The attack's purpose is to force you get up or you get hit. And Bayonetta can kind of disconnect from that. And when the pacing isn't consistent anymore, they just fall apart. Even though they don't have to.
And just to elaborate real quick, just if you guys don't know, this is a mechanic in the game, but after you get hit, for however long you are in the air, however many seconds you are in the air before you grab the ledge, will determine how much ledge intangibility you have when you snap the ledge.
Bayonetta so can always like maximize this.
When you get hit by Belmont, you know, what's the holy water. Yeah, when you get hit by holy water, but it just nips you and you just go, you fall right down and you just like be right back to the ledge. You were in the air for a very little amount of time. Yeah. So Belmont can start charging something like a forward smash. And if you don't instantly do a ledge option, they just delay it a tad bit and then they'll match the forward smash angle down with you running out of intangibility.
And it's percent based. The higher percent, the less you get. So Bayonetta gets to like mitigate that by being in the air for a long time, even at high percent, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So that's all the technicalities so you can match what Gavin's saying. But yeah, like I love that you brought that up, Gavin. I didn't even really think about that. But like that extra intangibility when you ledge snap is so important against characters like Fox Roy, because that's where they get all their stocks is from.
You get to disconnect from their cycle. You have enough time to let them flail on the ledge and just not interact with it.
Flail is my favorite word we use on the show, by the way. I love
flail. But if you're a normal character, you eventually have to restrict your own timings due to respecting their offense, and it just becomes free to get ledge trapped by like it's the ledge trapping does itself. Like, Roy jab and grab at ledge is literally a classic. Like,
you know what I'd say to this? If you guys want more great insights like this, you should check it out. Metafy.gg/@tweak and on the tweak Patreon. He still got the knowledge, right? Unk still got moves in this game. Yeah. He understands. Unk's he knows ball. Running. Actually, is what they say about him. Actually, you know a lot. You know, all jokes aside, you know so fucking much about this game. Obviously, you know a ton about this game. So, great guy to get lessons from. Yeah. Check him out.
Thank you so much for supporting the show. We do bonus content every week as well. If you're interested in VOD review or general bonus content, answering questions, yada, yada, check that out. And thank you so much. Have a good one.